The gospel which we heard read this morning from Mark is about the woman who puts in two mites, which are literally worth a penny. These are very, very tiny, thin copper coins. Typically, when we hear this particular passage of Scripture read, what comes to mind first is a principle about giving. Those who made a great show of giving and the great wealth that the great amount of money that they put into the treasury, really were not giving anything which hurt them particularly. It was out of their abundance. That there was marginal what they were giving in terms of what they actually had. And the woman, the widow who was giving, gave everything that she had, as little as it was. And Jesus said that she gave more than all of them combined. And so typically when we hear this gospel, we focus specifically on this kind of giving. There's another aspect of it that I would like to look at this morning, and that is obedience. What this woman was demonstrating in her ready giving of what she had was obedience to God. Those who were giving very much for show were demonstrating no obedience to God. They were really looking for the praises of those who watched them put great amounts of money into the treasury. It's the same reason Jesus says they said long prayers. They weren't really concerned about what they were giving to God or praying to God. They were concerned about how people looked at them and what people thought of them. They didn't care particularly what God thought. A comedian that I heard one time talking about the way we behave said, imagine what it would be like if adults acted in line at McDonald's the way children do. It's a good image, isn't it? When the kids are hungry, they're saying things like, Mommy, I'm hungry. Mommy, I want a Big Mac and I want it right now. And there may be six people ahead in line and there's nothing Mommy can do about it, but the kids aren't quiet. They continue to make that kind of noise. So this comedian said, imagine if all the adults were that way. They're all rolling around on the floor in line at McDonald's going, no, I want my Big Mac, I want my French fries. Unfortunately, I think even though we don't act out quite in that way, that's really where a lot of us are inside. We are completely self-focused. We worry about what we want, and we want it right now. Many of you have probably heard sermons based on this piece of Scripture. Jesus said, they asked Jesus what the greatest commandment was, and he said this. He said, the greatest commandment is this, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I would like a nickel. Oh, heck. Okay, I'd like a dollar. For every time I've heard a sermon preached on that passage of Scripture, where the entire focus of the sermon has been, as you love yourself. And the sermon starts something like this. Well, of course we're supposed to love God, and of course we're supposed to love our neighbors, but how can we do this unless we love ourselves first? Because it says, love your neighbor as yourself. And so the whole focus of the sermon, for the whole sermon then, is how you love yourself. They never bother to get back to loving your neighbor, and certainly not all the way back to loving God. I've grown tired of this sermon, and I've heard it many times. And it's illustrative, I think, of the fact that we are all so self-focused that we want to hear sermons about loving ourselves and hearing that maybe that's really okay with God, that we love ourselves because, hey, I'm good at this. I think it's right that we are to love ourselves. We are God's creation, after all, and He does good work. But we can't stay stuck there. And here's what I think it comes down to. We will take Jesus as Savior because it means that He rescues us. He rescues us from our sin. He rescues us from our failure. He rescues us when we're not loved. And so the idea of Jesus as Savior, hey, sign me up. This is a good idea. Eternal life, sign me up. Good idea. I will take Him as Savior. Will I take Him as Lord? Different answer to this question. The answer to this question is no. For most of us, even as Christians, the answer is no. Savior, yes. Lord, no. Because if I take Him as Lord, I might have to do some things that I don't want to do. Right now, I'm on the throne. I do what I want to do. I let Jesus be on the throne, and there might be some things that I really want to do that His counsel to me is, child, don't do this. And so Savior, yes. Lord, no. Matthew 28:18, Jesus is speaking. He says this, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Now, I'll sign up right away if I'm getting something from him. But if it's actually suggested to me that maybe I need to obey, this is a much harder assent to make. It's much harder to say yes to this. 2 Peter 1:1, Peter writes this, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. He's writing to Christians, by the way. To those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be to yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And then listen to Peter's counsel. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. Knowledge of God, studying His Word. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. Hang in there. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, notice he doesn't say, be this way right now. He says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and he will be with us if we will but assent, if we will say, yes, I want this, Lord. I want you to be Lord in my life. I want goodness and godliness and brotherly love. He will be there with us to help us grow in him. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, some of you know that late Friday night, I spent late into the evening and even in the early morning with a family in grave crisis. A lot of prayer went on this night, and the crisis, which I won't describe, was very, very grave and severe. And it was the consequence, in part, of decisions being made where someone's own needs and desires were at the center, and where what Jesus would have us do at a given moment had not been considered. It was self-focused. And the truth is that the reason God wants us not to be self-focused is because He knows that when we are, we get hurt. And we hurt other people. And at one point in this difficult evening, I asked one of the people involved, what would God have you do? And this person said, I don't know. Now, after I had left, I went back home. I spent virtually the whole night in prayer and in grief and in great distress. I reflected on this answer. What would God have you do? I don't know. And I think the truth is this person did know and didn't want to. Did know what God would have done right then. Didn't want to do it. Didn't want to do it. And in all of our lives, we face this kind of decision day after day after day. Little decisions and big decision. When we ask the question, if Jesus was standing next to me right now, and I had this decision to make, and I asked his counsel, Jesus, what would you have me do? What decision would I make? And if he's my Lord, and not only my Savior, but if he's my Lord, then that's the decision I make. Otherwise, I say, if I'm not even saved, if I don't even know Jesus as Savior, what I say is, I don't care what God would have me do. Just, it's irrelevant to me. If I've accepted His salvation, then I ought to care. But then I can either say, I don't know, which is pretense, because I do know. Or I can say, I know what you would have me do here, but I'm not going to do it anyway. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to love myself. I'm going to put myself on the throne and keep me there. You're not Lord in my life. I'm Lord in my life. And so the question for me, and I hope for each of us this day and in the week ahead, is Jesus not just Savior in your life, but is He also Lord? And if He's Lord, and you know that there is a decision in front of you that you must make, you know how He would have you make it. And that's what you should do. It's what I should do. This isn't a legalistic shaking of the finger. This is simple obedience to the one who saved us. So I would pray the grace of His Holy Spirit for us in this week, that He would give us eyes clear with each decision which involves truth and that which is moral and that which is right. That the Holy Spirit would give us the eyes to see what is right and the strength to do it. And Jesus promised this at the end of the Gospel of Matthew when He said, that his disciples were to go forth into the world, teaching them, that is, those who have been saved, to obey everything I have commanded you. His last words were this, "And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." He's promised to be with us, and he is. If we will allow him to be Lord in our lives, then we will make choices that calls us to make, and we will spend eternity with him in great joy.